From the UCLA Labor Center and KPFK, we bring you Rework. I'm Saba Wahid.
And I'm Stephanie Ritopper. So some of Los Angeles' neighborhoods date back over 100 years. They hold rich stories of the people that come through its streets. When we were producing an episode on the garment district in Los Angeles called Los Callejones, Vanessa Moreno, who works with us on the show, revealed the very special relationship that she had with the garment district while she was growing up in Tijuana. She set off to interview her mother and grandmother about their memories of the neighborhood and found a cross-border story that spans four generations.
When I got accepted into UCLA, I screamed with joy. Los Angeles is where I wanted to be. I grew up in Tijuana, but had been coming to LA since I was a little kid. My family's business was a bridal shop, and our main source of supplies was downtown LA's garment district. On weekends, my great-grandma, who I called Bis for bisabuela, my grandma, my mom, and I would all pile into the car and make the trip from Tijuana, Mexico, to Los Angeles. I remember the shops, filled to the brim with all sorts of event paraphernalia, color-coordinated to go with the theme of your wedding or first communion. I was in awe of all the colorful fabrics and accessories. One of the most important trips to the garment district for me involved traveling there for party favors for my first communion. Everything needed to be just right. I picked out the prettiest blue figurines of a little girl praying. I remember feeling so excited to bring them back. A mixture of joy and nervousness for my big day. But I took the trip far fewer times than the elder women of my family did. For three generations, the women in my family made the same journey up to the garment district.
Pues es que veníamos una o dos veces por mes de compras a surtirnos.
Well, we would come to shop in LA once or twice per month to stock up on supplies. There were always a lot of beautiful things. We bought fabrics, headpieces, embroidered jewelry, finished dresses. First, we would go to the area around 7th and Los Angeles Street. When we were done, we would go to Los Callejones, and we bought extra things either for ourselves or for the store. Custom jewelry, dresses for weddings, or whatever. And we would buy it there and sell it in Mexico. Those were good times.
That was my mom. She basically grew up in our bridal shop in Tijuana.
Sí, teníamos un negocio a la vuelta de nuestra casa en el centro. Era un negocio de vestidos de novia.
Our business was just around the corner from our house. It was a bridal shop. We sold wedding dresses, but also quinceañera dresses, first communion dresses, formal dresses, and cocktail dresses.
¿Puedes contarnos un poquito más de cuando estabas chica o adolescente? ¿Qué es lo que hacías en la tienda? ¿Bordabas?
Can you tell me a bit more about when you were younger? What would you do in the store? Would you embroider? Did you work the register?
Mira, yo bordaba, hacía ramos, cosía un poco.
Well, I embroidered, made bouquets, sewed a bit, and made sales. One time, your grandma got really sick. She was out of work for 2 months, and I had to take over along with your great-grandma. I was in charge of opening and closing the store. I had to make sales, get measurements for our customers, do try-ons, pin the dresses, and have them ready for our customers to wear. It was a very tiring time for me, because I would work from 9 to 9.
When my mom tells these stories, I try to imagine how hard it must have been for them to run a local family business. It really was a family effort. Whether it was my bees, my grandmother, or my mom, everyone chipped in and made the shop function. It's not easy. The days were often long, and they had to fill in for each other if someone got sick. But I also hear the deep love the family had for the shop. Every couple of weeks, my mom and grandmother would cross the border to get to Los Angeles. It was a different time then. Being able to come over from Tijuana for an afternoon of shopping in the garment district was no problem. Not like today. With border security much tighter, now whenever I go home during the school breaks, it takes an hour or more to cross the border. My mom has a lot of fond memories of shopping in the Garment District, and specifically, Los Callejones. That's the name locals give to the alleyways in the Garment District. If you've never heard of it, Los Callejones are downtown alleys filled with wholesale and retail vendors. It's vibrant, bustling, always filled with people, business owners, teenagers, families, all looking for a bargain. Even when I was in my mother's womb, I loved that place. My mom says that I wanted to come out in the midst of all that bustle. Can you tell me the story of when you almost gave birth to me in the Callejones?
Yo estaba embarazada de ti en uno de nuestros viajes de compras.
I was pregnant with you, and in one of our trips to stock up around April, the drive was long and intense. We finally got to the Garment District, but in those days, there was a lot of crime. So I remember that your grandma and I wouldn't get out of the car because sometimes pickpockets would yank your purse and rob you. So instead, I would drop off your grandma, and while she shopped, I would drive around. One time, I was going around and around the block, and I started to get sick. Afterwards, the gynecologist told me that the heat from the car's engine was inducing labor and starting my contractions. So I parked close by and got out and walked around. And of course, I went to the Callejones. I mean, I needed to pass the time somehow, right? I felt sick, but I thought I should walk it off because I just could not stand it anymore. So I went to the Callejones to shop.
So you were about to give birth and you went shopping.
Yes. Well, you wanted to go shopping with me already.
Like always.
Yeah, that was my last trip up before you were born. You were born in July, and I went back in September.
Having a family business meant a lot to my family. As a family of three generations of single women, it was a source of economic stability and hope for a better future. And having the store helped out the family a lot, right?
La tienda nos dio todo.
The store didn't give us everything, but the earnings definitely helped us out with what we have today, from material things to education for the whole family.
Yeah, that is how you were able to get your degree, right?
Yes, I was able to get my degree in accounting, and that is how you were all able to get to where you are, because of the hard work we put in.
And for me, it was a place where I had some of my earliest memories. On weekends and vacations, I would spend a lot of time in the shop, sometimes doing my homework, sometimes playing, sometimes learning about the business.
You would make your bouquets. Your great-grandma showed you how to make bouquets and headpieces, and we would soon put them on display to sell.
And they actually sold, or were you just playing?
Well, that I don't know. They put a price tag on them and everything.
I later went on to design my first communion dress. At 8 years old, I was lucky enough to have one of my doodles turned into the real thing. My dress was cream-colored, made out of the most beautiful fabric with tulips on it. I felt like the luckiest girl in the world to have my fairy grandmothers make my dreams come true. My little brother also grew up in the store. Do you remember when my brother got lost?
Pues sí, se salió de la tienda. Tu abuela estaba muy ocupada.
Yeah, he left the store. Your grandma was so worried. Your brother had just started walking. The showcases were so much taller than him. So when he ran out, your grandma did not realize that he had left. He turned the street corner and was headed towards a stationery store where they sold toys and colorful things. We were lucky the neighbors knew us, and one of the ladies that worked in a boutique around the corner knew your brother was your grandma's grandson. She picked him up and brought him back.
Before my mom would make trips to the Garment District, her mother, my grandma, used to go as well. I interviewed my grandma at her house in Tijuana, a house that my great-grandmother bought with her earnings from the store. It's a four-bedroom house in a part of Tijuana called El Paraíso, Paradise. It has an imposing white iron fence that's about 10 feet high. To the left, there's a huge bougainvillea vine, and to the right, there's a towering Chinese pine tree. Inside, my bees chose classic decor, with three chandeliers on the first floor and a wooden banister that leads up the stairs. It's a house that they say will one day be mine and my brother's. It's the only house I consider to be my home. At 83 years old, my grandma vividly remembers the streets and the shops of the Los Angeles Garment District where they used to shop.
En primer lugar, las flores. Las telas allí en la 7 y Los Ángeles.
First of all, the fabrics. The fabrics there on 7 and Los Angeles. I think those fabric stores are still there. We used to go to buy broches, zippers, buttons. We went to the Handy Button Company to buy supplies for the button making machine. And then on Main Street was the sewing machine store. We will go there to buy needles for the machines, bobbins, and the new machines if the old ones broke. Yes, rhinestones. There were so many things we'll go to buy in Los Angeles. All the stores were close by, and you could just go around the block and end up in the jewelry store. Hyman Handler was there, and across the street there was Sidney Stern. The same thing with all the different suppliers. Oh, they were all in the same block.
One of her favorite stores was called Star Textiles, which still exists in the same location, but with a different name.
Bien, eran personas muy decentes, muy, muy decentes. Y mi mamá les decía, yo me acuerdo.
They were really good people, really nice. And I remember that my mom went to the Star Textiles and told them, listen, I'm going to talk to my daughter to see if she sold something over in the store in Tijuana. And if she did, I'll send her to deposit money in the bank and I'll buy what I need from you here. And they would let her use the store phone. My mom would call me and ask, hija, have you sold something? Yes, mama, I sold wedding dress for $200. Okay, she would say, well, run and deposit the money quickly so we can spend it here.
So how did the bridal shop get started? That story goes back even one more generation to my great-grandmother, my bis, in the year 1947.
A tu vez, cuando trabajó en Los Ángeles, la tienda, el lugar donde trabajó, cerró y le regaló.
Well, the store where Yubis was working in Los Angeles closed down, and they gave her all the clothing that they had left in stock. Those clothes were very sparkly, very elegant, kind of the cabaret style. So my mom said, well, I'm going to sell these clothes, and she bought some mannequins and dressed them up. Then a lot of the working girls start to arrive on Avenida Revolucion. And when they saw the fancy dresses, they right away started buying them.
Wait, so the store started out selling to prostitutes first?
Yes, our first clients were prostitutes because it was clothing for that, you know. But those dresses were given to her. She didn't buy them.
So first business was for prostitutes, and then my bees got tired of that, and that's why she chose bridal clothes, the opposite of that?
Yes, well, just imagine. The women were out there sitting in front of the shop and were gossiping about, this one doctor, this other engineer, that, talking about their adventures with this guy and that guy. Well, she thought, no, this isn't going to work. My daughter is hearing all these stories, and from one day to the next, she hired a seamstress and said, okay, we're going to make something new. And they got to work cutting and sewing wedding dresses, one making one part of the dress, another making another, and then the call girls' dresses disappear. And when the ladies came by again, they saw the store, they didn't carry what they wanted anymore. So then they didn't come back.
Sex work was obviously a taboo subject at the time. And that wasn't the only new thing that I learned about my family while doing research for this episode. My grandma shared another family secret, one that not even my mom knew, during our interview. My grandma doesn't usually like talking about her brother, Omar, who died serving the U.S. military during the Korean-American War. But as it turns out, when he died, the U.S. government gave my bees a stipend, as is customary for families who lose children to military service.
La tienda se abrió con el dinero que dieron del fallecimiento de Omar, porque nosotros no teníamos.
We opened the store with the money that we got from Omar's death. At the time, we didn't have much money. My mom asked me, what should we do with the money from your brother's death? Should we buy a house? Instead, she decided to invest the money in the business. She bought machines, displays, merchandise, everything necessary to open up the store, and we were able to live off that.
This fact struck me. I always knew that my uncle had passed away, but I didn't know how crucial this fact was to the fate of the store. And without the store, our lives would have been very different. Before they opened their own shop, my great-grandmother worked out of her apartment as a seamstress, sewing shirts on a piece rate.
Cosía mi mamá en la casa. Tenía una máquina. Vivíamos nosotros.
My mom had a machine at home, and she would sew in the house. We lived with Adelina's aunt on 3rd Street. She would make shirts for a man who had a store close by. He requested she make shirts, and he would sell them in the store. Her job was to make fancy clothes in nighttime wear for another store.
It was so interesting to me that one tragic act that caused so much grief in my family also gave us a chance to start over and provide us with what we have today. Do you think having the store helped the family?
Ah, definitivamente, hija.
Definitely, definitely.
How did it help us?
To live well, eat well. We owe everything to the store, everything.
The store was so important to our family. It's what gave my family a chance to better themselves, put food on the table, and gave us money for our education. My great-grandmother, my bis, merits a whole show to herself.
Ay, qué orgullo tengo de ser de Jalisco. De ser de esta tierra donde las mujeres nos dan el...
Her life was so interesting. First off, she was a seamstress, and her design soon became famous in Mexico.
Más bien, se sacaban los vestidos de los libros de brides.
Sometimes she would see elegant dresses in wedding magazines and copy them. One time, she made a dress that cost more than $1,000 for a quinceañera that was very, very beautiful. And when they did not want brides' magazine dresses, she designed them. People came from Rosarito and Ensenada to come and get their dresses designed and made there. We had a large clientele. Even people from Mexicali came because my mom had such a great service and she could make them whatever they wanted. They would tell her they had an idea about a dress and ask if she could make it. And since she was a great artist and a great with a pencil, she would make the design exactly how they asked for it.
But before all this, growing up, she had a hard time making it. She had worked as a teacher in Jalisco, Mexico, and traveled to the U.S. where she aspired to be a designer, but she started as a seamstress. Her husband wasn't very responsible, and they were struggling to get by. So my bis picked up her kids and moved into Los Angeles from San Francisco. My grandmother, her daughter, was 12 at the time. My bis found jobs working as a seamstress, but they still found it hard to find a place to live.
Mi tío Lencho, mi tía Chabela, y mi mamá. Y mi tía Chayo no se quedó con nosotros en Los Ángeles.
My uncle Lencho, my aunt Chabela, and my aunt Chayo stay with us in Los Angeles with Omar and me, living in the tent because everywhere we looked, they didn't want kids. We stayed in the backyard of the house in exchange for taking care of the owner's son. We lived for some time. I still remember living in the tent until I was 15 years old.
On top of that, the wages and working conditions were horrible, so they decided to do something about it. Tell me about my great-grandmother's wild days in Los Angeles.
Ay, pues era en las huelgas. Eran de las que andaban con la bandera.
Well, in the strikes, she was one of the people that would hold the banners and flags on the streets. My Aunt Chabela, Aunt Chayo, and her were on the front lines of the strike.
And what were they protesting?
Well, they would protest for their salaries or for higher wages.
They didn't pay them well?
No.
As seamstresses?
Yes, all three of them were seamstresses. Mi tía Chayo, mi tía Chabela, and mom were agitators.
They would agitate their coworkers.
Yes, they were agitators and they usually got what they wanted.
It's so cool to me that my great-grandmother was an activist. I guess it runs in our family's blood. And then there was Hollywood.
¿Tú ves? Fíjate, hizo ropa muy fina para una bailarina muy famosa en ese tiempo.
You know your great-grandmother? She made really good quality clothes for a famous dancer. What was her name?
Ginger Rogers?
Yeah, that's right, Ginger Rogers, exactly. She makes some very beautiful dresses for her and some really nice blouses for Lupe Vélez. My mom was very beautiful. Lupe Vélez saw her and told her that she was very pretty and she had to be in the films. My mom was so excited, but my grandfather did not let her. And after, she let the idea go.
We're talking about the late 1920s, early 1930s here. My great-grandmother and her siblings were fighting for fair wages. They were empowering other workers. She was designing clothes for Hollywood stars and being offered roles. But like I said, it was the 30s, which means that women were still battling for their own rights within the home. All this independence wasn't going over very well in her own marriage. Here's my mom again.
Era muy independiente. Mucho, muy independiente y las, pues en aquellos tiempos.
She was very independent, like extremely independent. In those days, a woman that worked was not respected by men. Unfortunately, my grandpa was very macho. They had many problems. My grandpa never accepted her independence and self-sufficiency, and wasn't the most faithful to say the least.
Maybes was a tough woman, and she was willing to break social norms if pushed. I remember that my grandma told me a story of the first and last time he hit her.
Well, I didn't want to talk about that, but yeah, that was what happened.
What did she say exactly? This is the first and last time you lay a hand on me.
Yes, exactly. That was the first and last time.
My great-grandmother left her husband. And then a fortuitous thing happened. The factory where she was working shut down in Los Angeles. This opened up the opportunity Maybes needed to leave LA, go back to Mexico, and start her own business. When I hear these stories of her adventures, of her creativity, of her self-righteousness in the workplace and the home, I feel a deep sense of awe and respect. Many things would have been different for her family if not for my great-grandmother. She had an adventurous spirit. Maybes came to LA from Mexico, learned English and fashion design, was almost on the verge of accepting acting roles in Hollywood, and designed dresses for movie stars. She also became a union organizer and lived her life as a feminist ahead of her time, divorcing an abusive husband. She was truly a remarkable woman. I feel honored to be part of this line of strong, independent women. Here's my mom again.
Tell me a little bit about Maybes. How was she?
Maybes era muy creativa, muy inteligente, muy jovial. Siempre estaba innovando, siempre estaba imaginándose nuevos diseños, siempre estaba dibujando.
Your beast was very creative, intelligent and jovial. She was always creating and inventing, always imagining making different designs. She was always drawing, designing dresses, including for your dolls. She made a dress for your Barbie.
Yeah, I remember it was a wedding dress.
Wedding dresses were her passion. Why? I don't know, but she loved it.
When I think about my beast, I think about a sepia-toned picture that my grandmother has in her room. Maybes has that sleek, short hairstyle that was all the rage in the 20s. She's looking off into the distance, doe-eyed, beautiful, and strong.
Ay, pues era linda. Muy moderna siempre. Muy a la vanguardia.
Oh, well. She was lovely. Very modern. Always. Very original and innovative. Always. She always liked knowing and being in what was in style.
Yeah, that's why she named her business La Moda Femenina, women's fashion.
Exactly.
Strike the pose. Strike the pose.
Maybes opened the shop 60 years ago. When I grew up, the shop was my playground. In the 1990s, the U.S. and Mexico signed a free trade agreement, which increased poverty in the country and, in turn, increased crime. The shops and businesses went down while the neighborhood became more dangerous for the family. After three generations, my mother and grandmother had to make the painful decision to close the shop. Soon after that, my bisabuela passed away. But I still remember my bisa's last years. She always liked to be active. She played solitaire in her bedroom to keep her mind alert. My bisa was a teacher, fluently bilingual, and a seamstress. She gave our family a fighting chance in a world where money and privilege seemed to be the only way for people to get a break. She financed our educations. She taught me English. She did all the things she weren't supposed to do at the time, travel alone, work, study. She was the matriarch and anchor in our family. My bisa was the woman I can only hope to be.
Thanks to Vanessa Moreno, her mother, and grandmother for sharing their memories of the Garment District. You're listening to Rework, a program of the UCLA Labor Center and KPFK. This show was produced by Vanessa Moreno, Sidlali Chavez, Nathan Moore, Stephanie Ritaper-Sabohid, and Araceli Aregueta. Voiceover dubbing by Blanca Soto and Ingrid Olin. Music supervision by Francisco Garcia Nava.
Visit our website at reworkradio.org or visit us on Facebook at /reworkradio. You can also tweet your reactions to this show to @rework_radio or send us an email at rework@irle.ucla.edu. Until next time, rethink, rework.